Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the International Black Summit Talk Show, and this is your host, John Thomas. The show tonight is about the dynamics of effective communication. We're going to be talking about breaking through your communication barriers, how to ask for what you want and get it. Hold on a hot second. I got someone calling me on another line. Sorry, airspace there, people. There seemed to be some breakdown in our announcements. However, the show is scheduled to come on now. Well, at any rate, so I was saying that welcome to the International Black Summit Talk Show, and tonight we're going to be talking about the dynamics of effective communication. You could even call them the distinctions of effective communication, and it's all about breaking through your communication barriers, how to get what you want, how to ask for what you want and get it. And I'm sorry that I had to go away for a moment there, but that was one of the co-hosts calling in, and they'll be joining us shortly. So the intention of this show is to begin to lay the foundwork, the groundwork, the framework, if you will, for how one communicate in a way that allows you to cause, produce, generate what you want in life. See, I believe that everything happens in the world of what I would call enfoldment and registration. So we have a caller on the air, 856-489. I believe that's Clara. Is that you?
It is. I'm listening in.
How are you?
Fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing just wonderful.
Good.
I don't know what's happening with the Blog Talk announcements, but you know, we're scheduled to go live right now.
Okay. Wonderful. So as long as your switchboard says we're on, we're on.
We're on. We're definitely on. So thank you for joining us. I expect a couple of other callers to call in to have this dialogue with us. And I'm looking forward to having a lot of fun here. And we'll be jumping around here. And I'd like to start by just establishing some context to this call, and particularly how it relates to the International Black Summit. So, and you know, a lot of the work that we do in supporting people into bringing their vision into being for the black community in the world, I say is housed or cased in their ability to be able to effectively communicate or share that with others. And tonight's show is going to be about how we do that as well as how you do that in your own personal life. And we're going to be talking about some of the dynamics of effective communication. We're going to be talking about statements, questions, the effects of those questions, maybe the distinction of communication. We'll be talking about how you use this in education, and mostly we're going to hang out in the area of questions and statements. And what I mean by that is that there are certain questions that you ask of people that begin to cause things to show up or cause things to manifest into reality. And oftentimes they're preceded by some kind of statement or some series of statements. And what we'll be looking at tonight is requests, invitations, commands, demands, instructions, suggestions, and recommendations. And, you know, we may go a little deeper into all of those, but I want to start with why was it that you decided to tune in to this show? And before you answer, I want to ask the listeners to be listening from that this particular show is actually a demonstration of the dynamics of effective communication. So I want you to be listening and tracking as to how we use, how we're going to be using it in this this particular show to see if you can see, or better said, see if you can hear how they're being used. So on that note, welcome. And what had you join the show?
Actually, you had me join the show, John.
I had you join the show.
Yes. We were having a conversation, and you said you are really good at creating an argument, you know, a strong argument, but I'm missing your request. And it took me a minute to get it, and then I was just looking like, wow, okay. So I got, one, my communication is not being effective, and two, there are situations where there's certain things that I would like, and I'm not getting them in the way that I would like, so evidently my communication is not being effective. So when you said you were doing the show, plus, you know, I've seen examples of you demonstrate all of these different things in your communication, so I thought, wow, this is great. I want to hear this. I want to hear more. So I was really inspired by that interaction that we had, and then just seeing you demonstrate some of these things and how that has been effective for you.
Okay, good. Okay, great. Well, I'm so glad that you're here. And I do remember that conversation, so I'm glad I was a stimulus in that. And I believe a part of what I was sharing at the time was that you are really good at building a case for something, you know, that which you call an argument. You're really good, you know, because lawyers call it an argument, right? If you're really good at building a case for something, just like other people are really good at building a case for something, they'll share what they need to share, they'll say what they need to say, and they have some intention of causing something to happen, except, you know, there's something missing. Like they don't make the request, or they don't make the invitation, or they don't ask the question, or they might ask it, but they don't allow people to respond, which actually begins to diminish your real effectiveness. So it's not like there's ever anything wrong. You know, at least in my world, it's only, are you being effective in your communication? And I remember sharing about this, I believe it was Thursday, it might have even been Friday, with my wife. I said, I'm doing this show on the dynamics of effective communication and breaking through the barriers of, breaking through your communication barriers, how to get what you want, how to ask for what you want and get it. And she said, well, wait a minute, how do you ask for what you want and you get it? I ask for what I want all the time and I don't get it. So, I mean, how are you guaranteeing that people are going to be able to do that? So I'm not saying this is a guarantee. I'm not actually even saying that this is right. All I am sharing is that it's been effective for me. And other people, I noticed they use similar strategies, similar techniques, similar ways of communicating. It's been effective for them. So as we have a call tonight, we're going to discover what's effective for you. And then we're going to look at it from some of the things that I noticed that's common with a lot of people. You know, so one of the things that I generally notice is that, excuse me, I had some chili right before I got on the call, and it's talking to me.
You have some water?
Yeah, let me get some water. So since we had that initial conversation, and I believe in that particular conversation we were talking about requests.
Right.
Right? You know, there's like all kinds of ways of communicating, and usually the things that bring people, cause people to become in action is some type of question. It may be a request or an invitation or just a general question. So we were talking about requests. So what's been opening up for you since we've had that first conversation? While you do that, I'm going to give myself some water.
Okay. A couple of things. One of the things that's opened up for me, as you say, I make a really strong case, and I noticed that with my clients at work, you know, I talk about I do real estate. I talk about how great the house is and all of the amenities of the house and, you know, engage them in conversation about what would be, you know, how this particular house meets their needs or doesn't meet their needs or, you know, kind of developing rapport and relationship. And what was missing, I got, so, you know, got all this information, great case, was making the request, which was really specific. Do you want to buy this particular house? And so behind all of that, you know, as I was just looking, you know, about how I could be more effective in my communication was, you know, what's the intention behind my actions? So, like, you know, I think we take for granted we go to work, and we have specific tasks that we have to do while we're at work. So the intention, you know, behind that is to, you know, have a sale. And I think I was holding it before. My intention was for the client to be happy, you know,
mm-hmm.
for them to like the house, for them to, you know, for it to be a match, for it to you know, vibe for them. And I was missing the other intention, which is to create a sale and to generate income. You know, to create a sale and generate income.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got back to that intention, then the importance of the request was really important in making, you know, the whole communication process effective. So there was a reason for the questioning. There was a reason for building the rapport. There was a reason for all of that, a different reason, put it that way. Clear about what my intention was. Well, my husband would ask me just about every day, did you sell a house today? I'm like, did I sell a house today?
No! I don't sell a house every day.
Right. And I wasn't trying to sell a house today. You know, I was trying to get clients.
So right.
I had to look at that. It's like, okay, now I've got lots of clients, so now my intention is to sell a house.
Right.
Sell these clients' houses, to close deals, you know. So
exactly.
Really at the intention kind of frames what the request is and getting, you know, like just being, one, aware that I need to make the request. And I think once I get clear on what my intention is of what it is I'm trying to do, then making
mm-hmm.
it is a lot easier.
Okay, good. So let's distinguish that a little bit. Because sometimes we operate like we're making a request, and so I'm going to distinguish requests, and we're going to look at, first we'll look at the family of questions, and where a request actually falls within the family of questions. However, it's a specific type of question. So if we look at the, you know, the general family of questions, there's closed-ended questions. Those are questions that you ask that usually respond, the responses are yes or no. You know, like in your case, would you like to buy this house? That's a question. And the answer would probably be yes, I would, or no, I wouldn't. Open-ended question would be, how do you feel about this house? Open-ended questions allow people to expand a little more about how they feel or their thoughts or their interests or whatever as it relates to the subject matter. And then you have requests. And requests is a very specific type of question. And it usually works really well when you're engaged in a conversation with someone else that understands the dynamic of a request. Typically, a request includes a statement of some sort followed by a question. And the responses to a request is that they accept your request, they decline or deny your request, they can counter your request, or they could commit later to your request. And oftentimes there's some consequences associated with their response to your request. And we'll come back to that in just a second. Another type of question.
Can you go back for a minute? So you said it's a specific type of question that's a statement followed by a question.
Followed by a question.
So can you expand on a little bit? I don't get it.
Yeah, so generally, when people make requests, they may say something first, a series of statements. They may say, let's take the case that I'm interested in requesting you be on my team,
mm-hmm.
right? On my, let's just say community summit team.
Okay.
So I may share with you the community summit is, and the Community Transformation Series is committed to empowering people of African descent in a very positive way. We're interested in actually leaving transformation, access to transformation in their community so that they can be able to get access to it ongoingly. So I'm still making statements. I'm building a case. And it is our commitment that at some point that the International Black Summit, the senior facilitators or the primary facilitators will no longer have to continue to go there because we're going to train people in that area to be facilitators so that they can always have access to being able to have breakthroughs in all areas of their life.
Great.
Right? Now, I might then ask you an open-ended question. So does this sound like this is something you're interested in? And you would say?
Yes.
Yes. That's more like a closed-ended question. And then I might ask you, now this is just my style, it's a demonstration of my style. So what do you hear in what I'm saying?
I hear that there's an opportunity for people within communities to have the experience of the summit anytime that they would like by self-generating their participation within the community to have the summit anytime and share that with other people in the community.
Wow. Exactly. So what I request that you be a member of my team. That's the statement.
Mm-hmm.
Do you accept my request?
Yes.
Okay, good. So that's what I mean by it's typically a statement followed by a question. So the statement is typically, I request something. And a lot of times what happens is people make requests, but they don't ask the question. They may say, I request that you do such and such, or I request that we do such and such, or my request is that we go here. So that's the statement part of it. Then there's the question. Do you accept, will you accept my request? to give people then an opportunity to either accept, decline, counter, or commit to commit later.
Got it. Okay.
Okay, now we'll come back to that one in a second because that really is a really powerful one. Really, really powerful one. And as I was sharing that example with you, I was using a few other ones. So the other one that I used was a closed-ended question, which typically requires a yes or no response. And I used an open-ended question, which allows you to elaborate a little more, which you did. And then another type of question is an invitation. Now, I bring that one up because it goes hand in hand, I think, with requests. Typically, an invitation is the type of question where your response will not, there's no consequence to your response. Whereas in the world of requests, there may be some consequence to your response. So an invitation may be, I invite you to dinner. Would you like to come? Or I would like to invite you to dinner. You know, will you be there? Well, if they say yes, it'll be wonderful. If they say no, it won't be wonderful. I mean, it'll also be wonderful. I'm sorry. Either way, there's no consequence. It's not like there's something going to bad happen to them if they don't accept your invitation. Now, my experience has been sometimes people learn these distinctions, but then they don't actually use them appropriately. They may say the word invitation, but they're really saying something else. We'll get to that a little later in the call. So an invitation typically has no consequence in terms of what people respond. However, a request typically has a consequence. There might be a consequence to saying yes, a consequence to saying no, a consequence to committing, to commit later, or a consequence to a countering. It's, in my world, it's a much stronger kind of question. It's not like an idle, this is not idle chit-chat. You know, so to go back to your real estate example for if you have a client and you've been showing houses all weekend, and all weekend you've been asking them which ones do they like, what would they, you know, what are the benefits of it? You know, you're using the whole dynamic, and it's now Sunday at 3:00, and they're going to be flying out at 7:00. And you may invite them to purchase a particular home, which is all fine and dandy. Or you may request that they purchase a particular home, the impact of which is going to have a dramatic effect on their life. So what did I mean by that? So if they don't purchase a home, they don't have a place to stay. They do purchase a home, they now have a new mortgage and they're going to be in action. And, you know, we can expand on that a little bit more. That's probably not the best example, but you get what I'm saying, right?
Right, right.
So what I find, particularly in groups of people, that people make requests, but they're not really requests. Or let's say they're not the most effective request because there's not an opportunity for people to respond to it. And a request in my world is a pretty strong statement. It is right under a command.
Got it.
You know what I mean?
Got it.
And a command, you know, actually requires a structure, an existing structure to be in place where there's someone that's doing the commanding. And there's someone who's responding to the commands,
mm-hmm.
like in the military. Mm-hmm. When the colonel tells a major to do something, that's not an invitation.
Right.
It's not like he's asking them a question.
Right. It's not a request either. So, like, if I say to my daughter, you know, I'd like you to take your shoes upstairs, and she says, I don't want to, and I'm like, it's not a request.
No. So it's not a request.
There's no negotiation. Like, this is, what I'll say is this is not a negotiable item.
It's not a negotiable item. I'm glad you said that, because outside the command structure of something like the military, I call what you just said about your daughter an instruction.
Okay.
And in order to really be effective at giving instructions, you want to create the context for it. I actually did this with my daughter when she was about 9 years old, because I found that I would say something to her, or her mother would say something to her, and she would always have something to say back to it. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. You know, I know back when we were growing up, they called that talking back. And you can get your head knocked off for talking back. Now you can go to jail for knocking your child's head off for them talking back to you. So I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, this is not working here. You know, this doesn't require, like you said, it's not a negotiable item. So we actually begin to create a context for instruction, which requires this one, there's the person that's given the instruction, that's the person, and there's the person receiving the instruction. In school, it's the teacher is the one giving the instruction, and the students are the one receiving the instruction. In parenthood, it's typically the parent that's giving the instruction and the child that's receiving the instruction. And I actually set this up with my daughter. You know, I told her, I said, sometimes I'm going to ask you questions. And when I ask you a question, I'm looking for and listening for a response from you. You know, but when I give you an instruction, the response that I'm listening for is acknowledgement. So when I say, Ashley, it's time to go to bed, and then followed by, Ashley, go to bed, that's not a question. That's not an opportunity to engage in a conversation. The appropriate response at the time is yes, sir, or okay. You know, I even said she can say okay. You know, some people say you got to say yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, or whatever. But it's yes, sir, yes, ma'am, yes, or okay. That's an appropriate response to an instruction. And we actually created it. And it took me about 30 minutes to have this conversation with her, distinguishing questions and questions when I want to know a yes or no, and questions when I want to know how she feels, and instructions so that I can then use instructions. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and this is actually really great. There are two components that I think are really important. One is, you know, one, just creating the distinction of instruction, you know, the giver, the receiver, and the acknowledgement piece, or what the appropriate acknowledgement, you know, or the appropriate response is. In this case, that's an acknowledgement that one heard the instruction or got the instruction.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that you share is actually really powerful as well, which is creating a context to operate in. So the fact that you took the time to, you know, to meet with your daughter so she could get this whole distinction, like, as a way, like, you know, teaching her this is how we're going to interact.
Mm-hmm.
That's what these different things mean, so that it's clear she knows what the responses or the range of responses are depending on how you're interacting with her. And I think a lot of times one of the reasons why communication breaks down is because, one, people don't get all of these various ways that we are communicating and at what level of intensity we're operating in
mm-hmm.
our, I'm going to say request, and I say that very generically, but in our requests of other people when we ask for things. And then, you know, so how we hear it you know, how we hear the request is really different depending on in which of these areas, you know, you're operating in. And I think if the people involved kind of understand the different levels, then we have an opportunity to hear the request differently.
Exactly. That's actually very well said, Clara. A lot of it is the setup for it. You know, like you just can't walk into a grocery store and start making requests to people because you hadn't set up the space for that. You hadn't set up a context for them to listen to you that way. You know, but in your family, you actually can set some time aside and actually begin to create this dynamic of communication. You know, and you can say that there are times when I'm going to be asking questions, and sometimes they're going to be yes or no. And sometimes they're going to be, you know, I really want to know how you feel. I'm just being real straight with you. Sometimes I don't really care how you feel. That's not what I'm interested in. And so, you know, it might take us some time in working this out, but I just want to begin to set this up. And then there are times I want to know how you feel. And then there are going to be times when I'm going to make requests of you. And then there'll be times when there'd be an invitation. And when you can begin to set that up with the person you're communicating with and then begin using it appropriately. Now, let me take an aside. I know I still got requests on the docket here, and I'm going to take another aside. And there's the aside that I'm taking here is sometimes we'll have a demand of people, and it'll come disguised as an invitation or request, but it really isn't that. You know, a demand actually kind of lives in the world of command and instruction. You know, a demand lives in the world of there's something you want to have happen, and there really isn't a response for them except for compliance. And it comes disguised as a question. So, as an example, I may have a demand around my house, and I may say something like, you know, I'm tired of this stuff always being in the kitchen. There's always mess in the kitchen all the time. I request that you clean it up. Now, you could say that's a request, right? Because I, you know, I said it, and then I asked you, will you accept my – but I don't ask, will you accept my request? That's more like in the world of a demand. And usually my experience has been demands don't work. They're appropriate, and they don't work because you're left frustrated because you're not getting what you want, and they're left frustrated because you're asking them or demanding that they do something that they aren't agreeing to do. And they may do it or not, but you better believe there's going to be some aftermath.
So
I'm coming back from that. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
I was going to say I'm going to come back from that aside, but before I do, is there anything you want to share or anything you say, I mean, you see about that for yourself?
Yeah, actually there is. I have like this big boom, 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 boom. What's there for me is like there's all these different types of communication methods or levels. I'm going to call them levels of intensity.
Mm-hmm.
And short of not knowing which one you're in, they all get heard the same way. And so that's my experience like with my husband. My husband hears every request from me as a demand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm demanding him to do something. And for me, it doesn't live that way. Like, you know, it doesn't live that way. So if the response for demand is compliance, for me it doesn't live that way. So it's really cool to have like these various distinctions or different, you know, levels, because I don't know. I just don't see myself as a very demanding person.
Right.
But I do have requests, and I have invitations, and I have questions. And, you know, sometimes I'm attached to whatever the response is, and other times I don't. I just want the information.
Right.
That's going to come out of the response, but I don't get to the get there because, you know, like in his world, I get he's hearing as demand, and then he's in. That creates what is that? When a fish puffs up and get defensiveness.
Defensive, yeah.
Yeah, he gets defensive.
Yeah, people become defensive, resentful.
Right, all that.
Positional. And, I mean, it just becomes a very ugly thing. Now, there's nothing wrong with a demand. However, there's some times when it's more appropriate to use something else. And then there are times when it might be appropriate to make a demand. But you want to begin to
Summer. Let me see if I can talk here. You must be logged in to talk. So let's see. How do I log in? On live now, 21 minutes remaining. That's so weird. Can't hear anything. Hello?
Are you there? Okay, I'm still on.
Now, that was weird. Can you hear me? Hello?
Clara?
Yes, now I can hear you.
Okay, maybe it's not blown. Switch. Okay, I still got you on hold on the other line.
Oh, I'm sorry. I disconnected you.
All right, can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Okay, I'm about to do it on my phone, on my regular phone.
But I can hear you now. And
I had
gone to the website, too, and I was hearing silence there as well. So.
Right, and I was saying something, so something happened. So for all of you, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so for all of you out there listening, we're having some technical difficulty as we have our show about the dynamics of effective communication.
Okay.
I'm dialing back in as host because all the numbers have disappeared. 3, 6, 8, 5, 2.
So that was really appropriate because that's how it is. You think you're communicating and you're talking to the wall. You're talking into nothingness.
Exactly. Exactly. And that happens sometimes. That happens sometimes. As a matter of fact, it happens more often than not. So I was talking about, it was great what you were saying, that your questions, your invitations, your requests oftentimes occur or is heard like a demand.
Is that you with the static or is that me?
That's me. I walked away from my phone. It's her as a demand. And I was sharing about, that's another cool piece to recognize here, because in the world of effective communication, it really occurs over in the world of the listener. You know, if you really want to be really effective in your communicating, you want to begin to get the world of the person you're communicating with. You know, I even say that real communication only occurs or primarily occurs in listening. It's in their listening and it's in your listening. It's in what you say to them, how they hear it, and it's in how you're listening to how they respond to you. And that's what makes sometimes the phenomenon of requests and invitations and suggestions and recommendations and all the other, you know, distinctions that I talk about really powerful, because it gives you an opportunity to be in the world of the listener. You know, most people are tuned in to station WIIFM.
IIFM?
Yeah, WIIFM. What's in it for me? And most people are speaking. They're broadcasting from WIIFM. You know, and the ones that can really be effective with people actually broadcast in what's in it for you. It makes their communications a lot more receptive. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, and... So what do you do in a situation where you think you're understanding or you think you're speaking into the listening of another person, but they're still, you know, in shutdown mode?
Okay, well, how do you know when you're speaking into the listening of another?
For me, it's when I can repeat back what it is they said to me. Like, I'll repeat it back, like, is this what you said? You know, this is what I'm hearing. Is this what you're saying?
Okay. So you check in with them.
Yeah.
All right. And what do they say?
Sometimes
when you recreate or reproduce what they say, what do they say?
They might say something else, totally unrelated. They go a different direction.
Okay. So that typically means there's still a breakdown in communicating,
mm-hmm.
and you're not actually in their world. Like, so sometimes when you reproduce something for people, and by reproduce I mean say back what they said, it helps people get clear about what they're saying,
mm-hmm.
and they will acknowledge that you are hearing them. Oftentimes, not oftentimes, but other times, it may have people think you're not really listening to them. You're just saying that what they're saying. And what there is to do is recreate them. Now, what do I mean by recreate? So recreate may include reproducing them, and it includes getting a sense or sharing back to them in a way that they get a sense that you understand what they're talking about. You know, like, without going into a big, long story about yourself, you know what I mean? Because sometimes that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be, so ask me a question. Ask me something.
Just any question? How was your day?
How was my day? Well, ask me a question that you would be asking someone where you're attempting to see what's happening in their world and you're not sure based on how to respond. And we're going to do two examples. I'm going to do one where you can reproduce it, and then we'll do another one where you're going to have to recreate it. And you don't have to do it right this moment, but that's going to be the context for it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Ask me a real-life question, and I'll attempt to be who that person is.
Okay. So a question could be, can it be an inquiry question?
Well, I don't know. Is it an inquiry?
Yeah.
Or an investigation?
Probably. No, it's an inquiry. Investigation is when one, if I were to check it out for myself, that's an investigation. An inquiry.
Okay. Okay.
I need to say what it is.
Okay.
All right, at least that's the distinction I make about it.
That's actually pretty good. I'm going to add that to the list, inquiry and investigation.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm back to how was your day?
Well, actually, my day was pretty good.
Okay. Would you like to share some more about that?
Okay, so right there, you didn't reproduce me.
I did or I did not?
You did not.
Okay. Oh, I didn't follow directions. Okay, sorry. Okay. So your day was good, huh?
Yeah, it was actually pretty good.
What made it good?
Well, I cleared my desk. I put some files away that I've been putting off for seemed like forever. I actually got some stuff complete for myself. And I got a lot more stuff to do, but actually it was actually pretty good. Then I took a nap.
Wow. Sounds like you got a lot of work done and then you rested.
Yes, exactly. And boy, did I need it.
Well, good for you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome.
All right. So you got that one, right?
Yes.
You got how I responded to that one, right?
Yes.
And then and you saw the difference in how you did that from the first time when you went right to the next question?
Yes.
Okay, good. Now ask it another way. I mean, ask it again, and I'm going to be elusive.
Okay. How was your day?
It was all right.
It was just all right?
Yeah, it was just all right.
Okay. Care to share, elaborate?
Not really.
Okay. Alrighty then.
All right. So before we go to what's happening over here in my world, since you was asking me the question,
mm-hmm.
let's find out what happened over there in your world.
What happened in my world was you didn't care to share. That's the bottom line of it for me.
Well, that's what happened. What happened in your world? You had an intention in asking that question.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So my intention was to know what's going on with you. Like, yeah, what's going on with you? So I felt alienated a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I felt a little bit. I actually feel uncomfortable.
Hmm.
Yeah, I feel uncomfortable, because
wow.
I would really prefer not to have to ask certain questions. You know, I would actually prefer not to have to ask certain questions. Like, it could just occur if the world were
just...
yeah
mm-hmm.
if the world were perfect, you'd come in and say, oh, you know, this is what's going on, and you know, this is what we're up to, this is what I'm up to, this is what's happening, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what has been up for me, this is what's going to be up for me. Like, that's if the world were perfect. I wouldn't have to ask.
You wouldn't have to ask. Exactly. And, you know, we call this the dynamics of the expectation part one. This is not just a one-time conversation.
Say that again.
I said I call this the dynamics of effective communication part one because I knew it was just not like a one-time conversation.
Right.
You know, there's this whole area of the effects that happen for people when they're engaged in communication. Like, people could be fulfilled, empowered, have an experience of being suppressed, thwarted, or angry, or even upset.
Mm-hmm.
In the world of communication, and you know, and beginning to understand how that plays is in making you more and more effective in your ability to ask for what you want and get it.
Right.
You know, and so I can get that. I even felt something happen. I felt you like drifting away as I was responding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so what was missing was a context in that particular case.
Mm-hmm.
So a context for what it is you're actually trying to have happen.
Right.
And possibly an invitation for me to participate in what you want to actually have happen.
Right.
Now, in the world, when all things are perfect, it should run just smoothly, but it doesn't always run like that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have to set it up. You know, earlier this evening, my wife, just, you know, I was over here, you know, putting together my receipts and minding my own business in my own world, thinking about what I'm thinking about my own life. And she asked me some question about the P3 group, and she said, So you're saying that the marketing campaign that we came up with on the internet for the Lifeline, you think that's going to do it?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, huh? You know, we were talking about, you know, marketing Lifeline, and you came up with this campaign, and it doesn't require any human interaction. It's all going to be online. You think that's going to work?
Right.
And I'm thinking, like, what? I said, you just threw me into a conversation. She said, well, yeah, we had this conversation, and I wrote all that stuff down. I said, well, probably then if we wrote it down, then, yeah, I probably think it would work, but I need to actually look at that because I'm not in that space right now. You know, and then, you know, it took a while. She wasn't really excited about it in the moment, but it took a while. And then she's like, okay, I understand. You know, you're not thinking about that right now. Like, exactly.
Right.
Right. You know, and she, yes, and obviously there was already some other dialogue there for her, maybe some concern or maybe an interest in getting some clarity for herself, but I wasn't there.
Right.
And she may have been having that conversation for 2 hours by herself.
Right.
And then she brings me in.
Uh-huh.
And I'm usually pretty good at jumping right into something. You know, also, I attempt to make it clear when I'm not in that space, I'm not in that space.
Right.
Because, you know, now you don't always get that kind of agreement out of your partner that they're really listening that way. That takes some time. That takes some energy, some effort.
Right, it does.
Yeah, right, and it's taken us years to get there. And, you know, creating a context to make a huge difference. So if she had said to me, I've been thinking about the marketing plan for the P3 Lifeline,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not clear about something,
mm-hmm.
you know, can we have a conversation about it?
Right.
I probably would have been like, sure. When would you like to do that?
Right.
And then she probably would have said, now. And then I probably would have said, well, now's probably not a good time.
Right, right.
I hadn't been thinking about P3 all day. Uh-huh. You probably have, and she probably would have left. I said, but I would love to have a conversation with you about it. Why don't we do that at a specific time? And I would give the specific time.
Right.
But that would have had it be a whole different conversation.
Exactly.
You know, or if she just asked me, how was my day? And she was really interested in my day. And I said, well, my day sucked. And she said, what do you mean it sucked? It just sucked. Well, what sucked about it? I don't want to talk about it. It sucked.
Right.
You know, all there is for her to do is, you know what? I got it.
Right.
It sucked. You probably don't want to talk about it, do you? No. I understand. If my day sucked, my day sucked like that, I don't want to talk about it either.
Right.
You know, but if you want to talk about it, let me know.
Right.
And that'll be the end of that. And you know what'll probably happen? I said, well, let me tell you what happened. It's amazing. But if you keep asking me, well, tell me more about why it sucked in. Did something happen? And did your mother say something? Did staff say something? Did something happen with one of your clients? Oh, now I'm just shutting down altogether.
Right.
Because we are not in a dialogue, which
right.
is another one of the distinctions. We're in two separate monologues. And
right.
I am getting frustrated interacting with your monologue. And you're probably getting frustrated interacting with my monologue.
Right. So how do you get people out of monologue land?
Hold on. We got somebody else on the phone here.
Okay, great.
Let me see if I can extend the call just a little bit. Caller, 917-701. You're on the air. Is anyone there? I'm going to see if I can create a little more time here, Clara.
Okay, great.
I only got minutes to go. A few more seconds to go. Let me see. Change it to 90. Submit. Submit. Okay. I'll go right to my switchboard. we're gonna probably have to edit this particular call.
Okay.
All right, we got a little more time.
Great.
All right. Call 917. Ooh, it switched off and switched back on. 701, are you there?
That's Nancy on the line.
Hey, Nancy.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing real good. I just rung in like the last 3 minutes.
Okay, great. Well, it says show is streaming. The show is on but not streaming. So I guess we didn't make the cutoff. But we're still on the air, so we can keep recording.
Okay.
All right, so your last question was? Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you.
So, Claire, your last question was, how do you get out of the monologue?
Yeah, how do you get out of the monologue?
Well, you have to make an invitation. Okay. Well, you don't have to. What I recommend is you make an invitation to participate in a dialogue.
Uh-huh.
Giving them an opportunity to say yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually make a request for them to participate in the dialogue. But you actually, you do it in a way to have a person want to participate. If someone doesn't want to be in a conversation with you, trying to have them be in a conversation with you, actually make them not want to be in a conversation with you.
Right.
And you can do that, it's just not that effective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if you recognize that they're having a monologue, they actually just want to talk to themselves. They really don't want an interaction. It's actually pretty cool because then you know how to be with them about it.
Right.
You know, you go, uh-huh, mm-hmm, really? You don't say, oh, man, really? It's not a dialogue. And sometimes you just got to recognize that. Sometimes in the summer, we call it clearing.
Right.
And then we want to interact with people clearing. No, they're in a monologue. That doesn't require interaction. It's not a dialogue or an invitation to interact.
Got it. Okay.
You know, so the whole premise here is as you begin to understand these different dynamics, it gives you a lot more flexibility to be with it and a lot more power in the world of being able to be effective with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, about 50 minutes ago, we talked about requests, and then we expanded, and I said we would come back to that. So in a request is usually some statement. You know, actually, I would say a request is an enfoldment conversation, and then a statement, and then a question from like a clinical standpoint. And so when you ask people a question, the question is, do you accept my request or will you accept my request? Then there's an opportunity for them to respond. And you actually want them to respond. Now, sometimes we make requests and we don't actually give people the opportunity to respond.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really a request. It really is a demand. Disguised as a request. And, you know, we've done it. We've been in groups, and we would say, I request that we such and such and such and such. And then they go on clearing. That's not a request. That's a demand. Because they really don't want a response from us. They want compliance.
Right.
Right? But, you know, when you make a request and you give people the opportunity to respond, it is a wonderful thing. You actually get to check the environment out. You actually get to be in their world. So they'll say, I accept, or yes, or I decline, or no. or I counter, and here's my counter, then that gives you an opportunity to consider it, or I'm not ready to commit to that. Then it's back over there in the speaker's world, and then they're going to do whatever they're going to do with it. And that's when you really get to see what it really is. Excuse me, what it really is.
Right.
Well, was it really a request? Or was it a demand?
Right.
Was it an instruction, undistinguished as such?
Mm-hmm.
Was it a command? And it's so amazing to me because without the context, it, you know, you can see how these things could be effective or not be effective.
Right.
So, going back to what you said about, well, if a person's in a monologue, how do you have them be in a dialogue? You could request it. And then you got to give them the room to respond to your request. They could say, yes, I want to talk to you. They could say, no, I don't want to talk to you. They could actually counter. They can say, yes, I want to talk to you, but not right now. Or they could say, no, I don't want to talk to you right now. I'll talk to you later.
Mm-hmm.
That's a counter. To request.
Got it.
You know, or they could say, you know, I don't know if I want to talk to you. Can I get back to you? That's a commit to commit later. But that really only works if you're speaking with somebody who actually is going to play along with you in the world of requests.
Right.
Which you actually want to set up as, like, look, this is how we're going to begin communicating.
Mm-hmm.
There are going to be times when I ask you a question and the answer is yes or no.
Right.
There are going to be times when I you know, I'm going to invite you to do something and you can say yay or nay and there's no consequence to it.
Right.
I'm just really interested in if you want to do it. If you do, we do. If you don't, you don't. There are going to be times when I make requests of you, and when I make requests of you, I actually want you to either accept my request or decline my request or, you know, counter my request or at least tell me a time when we're going to actually engage in looking at this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, invitations, there's no consequence. You know, I might ask you to do something, I might request you to do something, and you declining my request might have some consequence.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean consequence? Well, that depends on what the request is. I just want us to begin communicating in a way that if I actually make it as a request, you know the severity of it. You know, there's going to be times when I actually will be demanding that you do something. And I may not know that I'm doing that.
Right.
In that case, I want you to let me know. Or I want to set it up in a way that I'm just going to demand you do something. I need you to comply to it. Now, I'm not saying you do all of this, but you get the gist of it, right?
Right, right.
Just like the example when we did with the children, you actually, like I did with my daughter, I actually spent some time. I took about 30 minutes distinguishing questions and instructions. And I was actually distinguishing instructions, but I used what she already knew, which was questions,
mm-hmm.
to distinguish instructions. And she knew questions like yes or no questions and questions where she gets to expand. And then we distinguished instructions, then it was real clear what's an appropriate response. And so it actually got to a point where I would give her an instruction, like, Ashley, it's time to come eat. And She would say, well, I don't want. What's an appropriate response? Right? We don't even have to have a conversation about it. Then after a while, they didn't even have to say it.
Right.
Now, this is the same daughter that will call up and talk for now hours at a time.
Very cool.
Right? So just so the listeners won't get that, you know, it's like a real strict or real, you know, tough environment. No, I actually needed that because when I needed her to do something, I wanted her to comply. I didn't want to have a whole lot of dialogue about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to be, like, combative, like this is non-negotiable. Why are we even talking about this? No, I wanted her to understand that this was an instruction and her job was to comply.
Right.
And before you know it, there was very little instructions. You know, they were mostly questions. And then from time to time, there'd be an instruction like, it's time to get up. It's time to eat.
Right.
It's time to go to bed. You know?
And you're done.
And you're done. And the rest of it was having fun.
Right.
And then we didn't have all of that. I don't feel like getting out right now.
Got it.
And then, you know, as a parent, what do? I don't care how you feel. It's time to get up. No, didn't have that.
So one of the things that's, like, really cool about all the things you're pointing out is, like, there's the type of question and what you're calling this family of questions. And then depending on the type of question, there is a response or a type of response associated with that type of question. So, like, for requests, you have that accept, decline, counter, or commit to do it later or to respond.
Mm-hmm.
For invitation, oh, there's three components. It's the type of question, the type of response, and the consequence of the response.
Right.
Okay. So for invitation, the response is basically yes or no, but there's no consequence to it. For instruction, the response is acknowledgement, and I understand that there's no... The consequence, it's a non-negotiable item for...
It's a non-negotiable item. There definitely may be a consequence to it.
Right, right.
Might be pain.
And then for demand, the response is compliance. Okay. And there was one more that you talked about today.
Command.
Yeah, we didn't really get into commands, though, in terms of what the appropriate response was. We talked about it under demand.
Uh-huh.
But we didn't really talk about command tonight.
Okay.
In terms of what the response was or the consequences of that. Or I didn't get it. I didn't hear it.
Oh, yeah, and then we talked about open-ended questions and closed-ended questions.
Yes.
And we didn't talk about a consequence of that, but, you know, an open-ended question would be what would you like for dinner would be an open-ended question. Would you like to go to dinner would be a closed-ended question. You know, would you like to go to dinner is yes or no. What would you like for dinner would be something we can explore.
Right.
Or... Oh, so you want to have some steak. Great. I hadn't had steak in a long time. What makes you want to have steak tonight? That's an open-ended question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and with you, the example that we used was the community summit.
Right.
I asked you a closed-ended question, which was, is that something, I don't know, is that something you'd be interested in? You say yes, and then I asked you an open-ended question. I shared something, and then I asked you an open-ended question. How do you feel about that, or what are you hearing in that? And then you shared that.
Right.
Then I made a request.
Right. And that was one of the distinctions about the request. It's a statement followed by a question.
Statement followed by a question.
Okay. I think I've got it, by George.
I think you got it. And actually, most of it in the world of effective communication is a statement followed by a question.
Mm-hmm.
It's the question that actually makes the action.
Right.
At least for me. I mean, the statement does too, but the question actually gives you an opportunity to find out where they are. So, Nancy, I know you just jumped right in on the tail end of this.
Yes.
What are you hearing?
Well, I really like the part about the, you know, and it's good to just be present to that all the time when you talked about requests and distinguished, really break down what a request is. When you ask someone something in there, they have an option. They can say yes, no, or give you a counter offer.
Right.
I really love that.
And then you know, one of the things that Clara and I was talking about before you got on was you just can't walk into the grocery store and make requests. I mean, you can. But you wouldn't be as effective as you would if you actually create a context for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, like you were a manager or a supervisor there, you could create a context for the employees of the grocery store. Now, if you just want to walk right in and make requests in a grocery store, you want to create a context such that they know what they're dealing with.
Well, I kind of likened it to timing. You know, I had some repairs done in my apartment over the weekend, Friday actually, and a lot of repairs, kitchen, bathroom. And then the guy at the side, I wanted to ask him about repairing my stove that's been broken forever. And, you know, I know it's outside of his realm of what he normally does, so I said, I got to get the timing right.
Mm-hmm.
Just as he was about ready to leave, I said, so, George, what about my stove? Would you fix it? He goes, well, I said, I need an igniter. He goes, well, do you have one? I go, yeah. He said, all right, bring it to me. You know, it was like, because I kept, you know, telling Teresa, who was here with me, that I got to get the right timing.
Exactly.
I like that when you say context. So that's my context. It's like, what is the timing here?
That's a great context.
My stove.
A great context. And in the world of what we've been talking about, what you asked them was an closed-ended question. No, you asked them an open-ended question.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't ask them, would you fix my stove?
Right, I said, what about my stove?
What about my stove?
You know, I said, let me just kind of get the question just right. So I,
yeah.
You know, fabulous.
And see, and that works. But one of the questions we didn't talk about tonight in the family of questions is rhetorical.
Mm-hmm.
It's another type of question.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it's great to use a rhetorical question. And you want to be clear when you're doing it, and you want other people to be clear when you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so all of this is about getting facility for yourself and then sharing it with other people. And the more that you do that, and the more that you give them an opportunity to participate in the process, the more effective you become and asking for what you want and getting it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Clara and I did a demonstration where she was basically left, what did you say?
Irritated and, no.
Irritated and annoyed. Because
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't engage with her. She was asking me about my day,
mm-hmm.
and I wouldn't tell her. She never did ask me if I wanted to talk about my day.
Just jumped right in.
She just jumped right in, and now she's irritated and annoyed because she wants to know how I'm feeling. But she didn't even tell me that either. That she wanted to know how I was feeling, how, you know, we were talking about you want to create a context for it.
Right.
Now, just for the listeners out there, I'm not saying any of what I'm saying is true. I just know from my own personal experience and people who, you know, use these particular this particular approach in life, it's been proven to be effective.
So it's like just try it on.
Just try it on like a jacket, like you say. What is you say, Jack? Nancy, isn't that yours?
Mm-hmm.
Try it on. Try it on like a suit jacket. You know, nice coat. Like the way it looks. Like the way it feels. Use it. You know, oftentimes what happens when there's a breakdown of communication, we usually think it's over there with the other person. But my experience has been the breakdown actually occurs over here. We're left suppressed, thwarted, unfulfilled, disempowered because something happened, and it happened over here. So the more facility you get in distinguishing the various aspects of communicating and getting real clear, like I was telling my wife, she said, well, you know, you say you how to ask for what you want and get it. I said, well, sometimes that might be a 10-second enfoldment conversation. Then I said, sometimes it might be a 3-month enfoldment conversation. But you want to be clear about what you're up to. Then you don't get so frustrated about it.
As I'm listening to you, John, what I'm also hearing is a couple of things. You have an opportunity to learn something about yourself first, and then it's communication is like it's a real responsible interaction with.